More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, fix your fence. Tired of people ignoring your boundaries? Not sure what to do with people who are habitually hurtful? We'll help you set healthy limits. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life.
Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, fix your fence. We're talking about boundaries and the challenge of setting good boundaries that actually stick, especially with people who don't particularly want us to set those boundaries. So give us a call at 877-573-7825 and we'll help you deal with those habitually hurtful people and others that you might need to set some boundaries with. Let's look at what it takes and what that looks like in your life. Again, 877-573-7825.
Well, you know, you say people who don't want us to set those boundaries. Well, that's usually anyone we're in conflict with or anyone who's pushing their way into our business, our life, our relationships in some way. And if they would mind boundaries, they'd probably just intuit them, but they don't. So how do we deal with that? And it's yes, a matter of our own personal preferences, but it's also a matter of being our best selves, helping them be their best selves, being able to be in a healthy relationship with others.
And, you know, when you say that, I think it might surprise a lot of people because most people think of boundaries just in terms of cutting people off.
Yeah, the hard stop.
And I mean, and sometimes that it can require that, but that's not really what most boundaries involve. And we'll talk about what boundaries, good boundaries, look like that do exactly what you were saying, that close the door on bad behavior, but open the door to a possibly healthier relationship. And that's why boundaries are a good thing to use, as long as we know how to do it in a healthy and appropriate charitable way. And that's what we're talking about on today's episode of More to Life, titled Fix Your Fence. Is someone in your life being disrespectful, unkind, or hurtful in some way? Are you having a hard time knowing how to get them to stop, but still be loving? Maybe you've tried to get someone to stop speaking or acting toward you in a hurtful way, only to be ignored or told that you're being mean. Maybe you feel guilty when you try to set a boundary, or someone's trying to make you feel guilty for having set a limit. We want to help you fix your psychological fences so that you have healthier relationships with all the people in your life. Again, the number 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. And I have to say that, you know, in preparing for the show, I came across an article. It was interesting that in Time Magazine, that was discussing how healthy boundaries are the number one skill that the counselors teach to clients in counseling. According to the article, counselors assert that learning to set healthy boundaries with people, as well as healthy boundaries around work and other commitments, is one of the most important skills somebody can learn to improve their overall mental health as well as their relationship satisfaction. And I would certainly agree with that from our pastoral counseling practice, but I think it was interesting to sort of see, you know, that this is sort of a universal sense that people just need to learn how to have better boundaries and set them in healthy ways.
Well, I will say that I believe that is because people who need us to set boundaries for them really suck us in pretty slowly. You know, they come at us with a relationship that is attractive in some way, whether these are people we're just meeting or even our own family members. We develop a relationship, we begin to trust or feel comfortable, and slowly over time, people start to overstep or treat us without the dignity we deserve or a myriad of other things. It's not like somebody storms in, breaks down all your boundaries, and you just sit there and go, okay. It's usually very subtle. And because of that, sometimes when we can go to a professional and talk through this, not only can they help us see it from that third person perspective and a much healthier educated perspective on something like this, but they can help us rebuild our sense of who we are. They can help us see what needs to be done to either preserve that relationship in a healthier way or move away from that relationship for a healthier experience. It gives you a chance to really back up all of that sucking in that those people have done. And sometimes when we're sucked in, it erodes our identity and who we are.
And that's all absolutely true. But I also want to just gently remind everybody that all relationships need boundaries of some sort or
that's
other. It's not just unhealthy people that we need to set boundaries with. In order to have a healthy relationship, you have to have healthy boundaries. It's very much like if you're building a house, it has to have walls.
Yeah.
Right? It's not just bad houses that need walls. Every house needs a wall. It needs walls to support it and to give it structure and shape. And well, let's unpack this a little bit more. You know, every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And, you know, at first you might wonder, well, what could some theology possibly teach me about setting healthy boundaries? Well, turns out a lot. So St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a kind of a big question. He basically said, you know, if we look at everything that God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation, history, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became what we call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that we are all made for union with God and with others. But that doesn't mean losing ourselves, because what union can we have with someone if we don't exist as a self? St. John Paul II taught that each of us is a unique and unrepeatable person, created in the image of the Trinity, one God, yet three distinct persons, made in God's image. We're called to pursue unity while maintaining our distinct personhood at the same time.
Well, and that's where boundaries come in. You know, boundaries, as I said before, aren't usually meant to just shut people out. They're meant to be bridges that allow others appropriate ways to love and be loved by us. Healthy boundaries put limits on hurtful behavior while lighting the pathway to more respectful, loving, and fulfilling relationships.
Now, some people may see boundaries as unkind or selfish, but in reality, they're just the opposite. Boundaries protect the dignity of both people in a relationship. Jesus said, "Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no." Boundaries allow us to say no to unloving behaviors while saying yes to healthier, holier ways of relating.
Yeah, you know, so if someone speaks disrespectfully, a healthy boundary doesn't shut them down. It invites them to share their concerns in a more respectful way. Or if someone takes advantage of you, a healthy boundary provides a way for their needs to be met without being selfish about it.
St. John Paul taught that the only appropriate response to another person is love. Boundaries help love flourish by ensuring we treat one another as persons, not objects.
All right, so all this sounds great in theory, but how do we actually apply it when the rubber meets the road? You know, when somebody's actually being rude or disrespectful or hurtful or, you know, it's just making us uncomfortable in some way. How do we set those boundaries that enable us to give that person a healthier way to interact with us and let our relationship flourish? 877-573-7825. Give us a call. Let's talk about it. Is someone in your life being disrespectful, unkind, or hurtful in some way? Are you having a hard time knowing how to respond to that, how to get them to stop and still be loving? You know, maybe you've tried to get somebody to stop speaking or acting in a hurtful way, only to be ignored or told that you're being mean. Maybe you're feeling guilty about having set a boundary with somebody that you care about, or they're trying to make you feel guilty for it, and you're not quite sure what to do about that. Well, we're here for all those questions and more today on More to Life. Our show is titled Fix Your Fence, as we talk about, you know, the reality that good fences make good neighbors, and we're going to help you fix those psychological fences that enable healthy and holy relationships to thrive. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we bring to you all of our relationships, especially those more challenging relationships, where we might need to be clearer about setting healthy boundaries. Help us, Lord, to have the wisdom to know how to set that boundary and the courage to set it, even when the other person objects or accuses us of being mean. Help us to set boundaries that don't cut people off unless it's absolutely necessary, but rather give people healthy ways to meet their needs while still respecting our needs. Boundaries that encourage them to remember their dignity as children of God while still respecting our dignity as sons and daughters of God. Help us to transform our relationships through your grace so that we can, as your servant St. John Paul reminded us, build your kingdom by working to heal the damage that sin does to all of our relationships by setting healthy boundaries that let those relationships flourish in your grace. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the
Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Fix Your Fence, as we talk about the need to set healthy boundaries that enable our relationships to really thrive.
And maybe you're not even sure if you really need a boundary, but you're just realizing that someone is making you uncomfortable with something they're doing that you always have to handle. Or when you deal with them, it just doesn't leave you feeling full of life and your best self. And you're thinking, does something need to change here? I don't know what to do in this situation. Even people who are close to you that you love a lot and they leave your home or you leave a time with them and you're thinking, oh, okay, I didn't realize how tense I've been this entire time. Perhaps there are some subtle or not so subtle boundaries that you need to pursue in those relationships. So again, as you were saying, Greg, this is not about setting a hard wall, building a fortress around yourself. This is about those little things that can make you feel your best self and help the other people be their best selves in those situations that we have to deal with every single day, because we have to deal with people every single day. Let's help you feel better in those relationships today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Now, before we take our first call, just a little public service announcement here. Pope Leo XIV has called for Catholics worldwide to pray the Rosary daily during October, which is traditionally the month of the Rosary. He's asking us all to pray the Rosary for peace in the world. And if you'd like to get some help with that, you can download the Ave Maria Radio app and tap prayer to let Father John Ricardo lead you through praying the Rosary. It's a great way to be able to get the extra resource to help us pray for peace in this month of the Rosary. So check that out. And whether you're praying on your own or praying with your family, let's all pray for peace.
Amen
this
to
month.
That.
With that, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Who's up, Lisa?
Let's talk with Sandra, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Colorado.
Hey, Sandra. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Good morning. I've been married for 33 years, and I've always had issues with my husband with setting boundaries. Over the years, I've gotten more confident in myself and standing up to him bullying. I can give you an example. There's so much more to this, but he's always insisted on separate bank money accounts. And when it comes time to pay for something, if he decides that he wants me to pay for it, then if I say I can't do it right now, he gets upset and angry with me and yells at me. We've had issues with infidelity. I have found things in his suitcase, for lack of a better word, prophylactics, which obviously is not for me. And when I try to confront him about it, he just stares off into space. He changes the subject, tells me that I refuse to pay bills, and that's not true, which I pay a lot of bills.
But it's also irrelevant. I mean, he's changed. Yeah, he's changing.
He's just deflecting.
He's deflecting. So how can we, so Sandra, clearly there's a lot going on here. What can we help you with today?
Yeah, I just want to know what you feel is the best way for me to handle things like this with him. I told him, you know, that I will not discuss anything with him if he's yelling at me or accusing me of things. How can I better handle this? Because he won't, he just deflects. How do I handle that?
So let me ask you. I can respond to that question, but have you or are you getting any kind of professional support for yourself in learning how to deal with this kind of behavior from him?
Yes, but I don't think that he's a Catholic gentleman, but I don't think he's giving me the tools. Really, he listens. He's a very good listener. It tries to make me aware of how awful the things are that. You know, why are you so with him? But I'm not really getting any tools from him.
Okay, so not. Him. I understand. So you're getting kind of broader feedback about whether you should stay in the relationship or not, but no specific ways of dealing with the offensive behavior.
Correct.
Okay. All right, so in terms of specifically addressing this kind of behavior, you're absolutely right. Okay, what you're doing is spot on. I would suggest a follow-up to that. So, you know, right now you're saying that you're setting the boundary that, look, I'm happy to talk about whatever with you if you can approach me respectfully. You know, but if you're going to yell at me or call me names or behave this way, then I can't have this conversation. So that's a good thing to do. Now, the problem, okay, with that approach is that if he doesn't want to talk to you about certain things, then that's a great way for him to not have to do that. Because, well, you said you don't want to talk about it. Right. So the second part of that is you wait for him to calm down and then maybe he approaches you about something else like dinner or, you know, what's going on this afternoon or whatever it is. And at that point, he approaches you and you say, look, I'm happy to talk to you about what's for dinner. But first, we need to have that conversation where, you know, where you were trying to talk to me about something, but you were being kind of disrespectful about it. It seems like you're in a calmer place. Can we have that conversation now? Or if he doesn't come to you, you go to him after a while and say, it seems like you are, you know, are you in a better place now to have that conversation? So it's a 1-2 thing, right? The first step is saying, I'm not willing to have the conversation this way, although I am willing to talk to you. Can you take it down about 10 notches and we can continue? Or do we need to come back to it later? And then if he shuts down on you or stonewalls you or yells at you or whatever, you've got your answer. But then you have to come back to it later as a follow-up. Otherwise, he'll use that as an excuse for not addressing things that need to be addressed, but he just doesn't want to talk about. And you have to keep doing that until the conversation actually gets handled. Now, the reason I asked if you were getting some professional support is for the kinds of issues that you're talking about with you know, him infidelity and the bullying and kind of a lot of the narcissistic behavior. That's not something that you should have to handle on your own. So I'd like you to talk with your current counselor directly about your desire for more specific tools. To begin to address these kinds of things. My hope is that if you're able to kind of say that to him, then he would have a toolbox that he could refer to. If not, you're welcome to learn more about our pastoral counseling work through CatholicCounselors.com. I'd also encourage you to check out our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's our boundaries book, basically. It's all about how to set boundaries that are charitable, that open the door to a healthier relationship while closing the door on unhealthy behaviors. But I really want you to have these conversations with your current counselor to figure out the best way forward. And if there's more that we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out at CatholicCounselors.com. But it's really all about that saying that basically respect is the price of admission, right? If he wants to talk to you about something, he needs to approach you in a loving way. And that goes for all of you listeners. You know, even if we've done something wrong, we deserve to be confronted in a respectful way. You know, just because you've made a mistake doesn't mean that you have to be or have an obligation to be humiliated by somebody or treated in any way that is undermining your dignity or personhood.
And I want to be clear, you know, we're not saying Sandra did anything wrong. It sounds like she's on the right path and her husband's got some real issues. But in any situation, you're right, Greg, respect is that price of admission.
All right, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls at 877-573-7825 about setting boundaries. We'll also be joined by Rachel Isaac, who's a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. We'll be sharing some insights on healthy boundary setting. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
The doctor is in. In Ann Arbor. Don't miss this chance to join Dr. Ray's studio audience for tapings of his hit TV show, Living Right with Dr. Ray.
The live audience makes the show.
The tapings are October 28th and 29th. Two shows each night at 5:30 and 7:15 p.m. All shows are at Russell Video in Ann Arbor, and the cost is free.
Without the audience, there is no show.
Just sign up at AveMariaRadio.net.
Very much would love to see you.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the show is titled Fix Your Fence, as we talk about setting healthy boundaries. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She's a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, where she directs our Catholic Counselors Program for Performance Excellence. She works with Catholic athletes, performers, and executives, and other folks who have to be their best under pressure. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
It's great to be here.
So, you know, why is it so hard to set boundaries? And why is it so important for our mental health to learn to do it?
You know, one of the most important lessons that I've learned, both personally and in the work that I do with clients, really is the value of setting healthy boundaries. Because boundaries are not about just building walls or pushing people away. And I think a lot of people think that boundaries mean you're cold or you're unavailable. But really, that couldn't be further from the truth, because boundaries are actually about creating the right conditions so that you can love, give, and serve more freely without losing yourself in the process. When we don't set boundaries, I think life often ends up setting them for us, but they usually end up looking like exhaustion, burnout, resentment, or even sometimes physical symptoms, because our body ends up saying, and our mind ends up saying, something's off here and we're carrying too much. So what boundaries look like in real life, I think it often starts with slowing down enough to check in with ourselves and ask, is this mine to carry? Does this align with who I want to be or what I've been called to? And sometimes that honest answer is no. And in that moment, I have a choice then. I can say, you know, do I say yes because I feel pressured, or do I honor my values and protect my needs as well? You know, boundaries can look like saying no to another commitment, even if it's a good thing, because we know that our plates are already full. Or maybe we offer a different solution that honors our needs as well as the needs of the other person. Or it can look like pausing before we answer that text or that email instead of responding out of guilt or urgency. And it can look like carving out time for the rest of our family, even when we're tempted to just push through and keep working. But I think, you know, the key really is that setting a boundary isn't selfish. It's sustainable. It's what allows us to keep showing up consistently and wholeheartedly in the areas that matter the most. Without boundaries, we end up feeling scattered and drained. But with boundaries, we can build that margin and clarity that we need to keep moving forward with strength and confidence. So if you struggle with setting boundaries, I really encourage you to remember that every time you say no to something that doesn't align, you're actually saying yes to something better. You're saying yes to your health, to your peace, to your purpose, to healthier relationships, and truly to the people that you've really been called to serve.
You know, and I like to say, you know, building on what you're talking about here, that healthy boundaries enable us to stop worrying about protecting ourselves from each other, so that we can truly give ourselves to each other in healthier ways. And I think that really resonates with what you're talking about. Rachel, I want to thank you so much for being with us. Great tips, great insights. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, I encourage them to check out the CatholicCounselors.com program for performance excellence. They can just go to CatholicCounselors.com and find more out about your work right there. Thanks again for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Great conversations about the boundaries so far, but how can you apply it in your circumstances? What does it look like as a faithful Catholic person to set these boundaries that don't, you know, just cut people off, but open doors to healthier, holier, more loving, fruitful relationships? Well, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Back with more of your questions after this.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
If you're on Medicare, start saving with the $0 premium Trinity Health Plan of Michigan HMO. This doctor-designed Medicare Advantage plan offers $1,785 cash back per year in your Social Security check on select plans. Visit TrinityHealth65.com. Get more from this local plan that's on a mission to make Medicare better. You'll have easy access to our large network of providers, plus no referrals for in-network doctors and specialists. Enroll in this budget-friendly plan that can make healthcare easier for you. Visit TrinityHealth65.com for details. Trinity Health Plan of Michigan, HMO, is a Medicare Advantage organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in Trinity Health Plan of Michigan depends on contract renewal. Benefits vary by county. Not all plans have cash back, $1,785.60 per calendar year, which is $148.80 per month. Copays and co-insurance vary by plan. To file a grievance, call 1-800-MEDICARE to file a complaint with Medicare. Other pharmacies, physicians, or providers are available in the plan's network.
Underwritten in part by this not-for-profit.
Hi, this is Mike Ditka.
Hey, this is Brian May.
Hi, I'm Chris Farley. You're listening to The Kevin Matthews Show.
I thought he was insane. A lot of people thought he was insane.
Nobody could touch us. We had 10 million people listening to us a week.
But that was my past. If you would have told me I'd be carrying around a broken statue of the Virgin Mary, talking about God, I'd say, are you high?
Broken Mary, The Kevin Matthews Story. In theaters one day only on Tuesday, October 7th. Tickets at BrokenMaryFilm.com.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. When feeling attacked, judged, or misunderstood, our natural tendency is to react, to lash out and defend ourselves. We assume that the other person intends to be offensive. But even when it seems like someone is being purposefully antagonistic, we don't really know their true intentions. That's why charity and good psychology remind us that instead of reacting harshly, we can choose to be humble and give the other person the benefit of the doubt. That doesn't mean letting people walk all over us. It means that the best way to challenge an antagonistic person's bad behavior is to ask questions that clarify what they're trying to accomplish so that we can help them find kinder, more loving ways to get their point across and meet their needs. Clarifying questions don't accuse or challenge the other person. They hold up a mirror that forces the antagonistic person to ask themselves, is the way I'm acting really helping me get my needs met? To learn more graceful ways to deal with conflict, visit CatholicCounselors.com or check out our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic
Radio Network.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled, Fix Your Fence. We're talking about the need for good boundaries in every healthy relationship and how to set those boundaries with somebody who is maybe not being so healthy. You know, somebody who's treating you unkindly, disrespectfully, people who are ignoring your attempts to set boundaries or trying to make you feel guilty for having set a boundary.
Somebody who's just making you feel uncomfortable in your interactions with them, and you're thinking, something's got to change. What do I have to do to help that change along? Because I don't feel right about this. We're here to help you today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And before we take another call there, we've got some congratulations to send out.
We do indeed. We're sending out congratulations to another EWTN radio partner, KOOJ 93.1 FM, serving Pittsburgh, Kansas, and is celebrating 11 years with us.
Congratulations to Father Bob McElwee and everyone at Our Lady of Mount Carmel Education and Evangelization Society. From all of us here at EWTN, thank you guys for all your terrific work bringing EWTN Radio to Pittsburgh, Kansas, and the area. And listeners, wherever you are tuning in to EWTN Catholic Radio, make sure you're supporting your local EWTN radio station, certainly with your prayers, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN Catholic Radio going strong for decades to come so we can keep supporting you and all the people that you love in living more faithful, joyful, and abundant lives. And again, thanks to Father Bob McElwee and all the folks who make Catholic radio possible. 877-573-7825. We're taking your calls right now about boundaries and how to set them.
Well, Betsy from St. Louis, Missouri, gave us a call but couldn't stay over our break, and I want to make sure we answer it so that when she's listening, she can hear the answer. A lot of people are in the same situation. She said her mother passed last year. She has 7 siblings, and she took most of the care of their mother in her last years. They all squabbled with her the entire time and actually accused her of what she said were horrible things, saying that she was abusing their mom. Now that she's gone, she's debating just cutting them all out of her life for how they treated her, and she wants to know if that's appropriate or not.
Betsy, I want to thank you for the question, and I'm so sorry that you've gone through that. That's incredibly painful, and to be the one who is the point person taking care of an elderly parent, and to not be receiving the kind of support or encouragement, and in fact receiving criticism and accusations, is terribly painful. That said, I want to offer a few things for you to pray about. The first thing is the way they treated you while you were caring for your mother the way they usually treat you, or was it a response to an extraordinarily stressful situation? Now, I'm not excusing bad behavior here, but in terms of trying to figure out how can we address a problem, if people are generally speaking kind or respectful to us, but something happens, let's say we're going through a particularly stressful time and we start kind of being antagonistic toward each other because of the stress, because of the pressure, and then that stressful situation passes, sometimes the best thing to do is to give each other a little bit of grace and say, okay, now that that event is over, we can all go back to treating each other a little bit better. And sometimes it can be helpful to talk about, you know, hey, I'm really sorry for the way we all handled that. But other times it's very difficult because you can't talk about it without bringing it all right back up. And since it's not actively going on right now, it's better to let it go. To say, okay, that time is past, we're all treating each other well now, I'm just going to let this situation go, pray to God for healing and seek healing for myself, but then continue the relationship. But if the family was disrespectful before, became even more disrespectful during that stressful event, and is continuing to be disrespectful, that's where you definitely need to set a boundary.
Because that's just who they are, and they won't change no matter what you really, you know, do in terms of, we should talk about it, we should try to heal from this. If that's how they've treated you when you were all, like, you know, growing up in grade school, and it just got more intense around mom, they've kind of shown you their colors.
Yeah, so again, I'm not excusing bad behavior, but I am saying that if the bad behavior just was specifically related to that stressful event, once that stressful event is over, if there's an opportunity for you all to start treating each other well and just move on, that really is the better part. And that would be the exercise of that spiritual work of mercy, bearing wrongs patiently and forgiving willingly. You're giving the people the space to have made a mistake, but then to treat you better moving forward on their own. If however, the other side of this spiritual work of mercy is admonishing the sinner, right? Where, so if they are not treating you well now, and they're continuing to bring those things back or continue to be offensive, that's where you'll need to say, in order for me to be in relationship with you guys, something needs to change here. And I want to just go back to something we've said throughout the program, the idea that, you know, setting healthy boundaries isn't about cutting people off. The thing about that is, healthy boundaries open a door to healthier ways of being, right? Now, just because I'm holding a door open for you doesn't mean you're going to walk through it.
Yeah.
And if you choose to not walk through that door, I haven't alienated you. You've chosen not to walk through the door that I was holding open for you. So if you were to say to your family at this point, and let's say that they are continuing to be disrespectful or hurtful in some way, you might say, look, I want to be in relationship with you guys, but this has to stop. You know, I need you to treat me with respect. I need you to recognize how hard I worked to take care of mom, and I need us all to really just be kind to each other.
To work to create an adult friendship out of the sibling bonds that we have. We are a family. It would be great if we could continue to be a family even now that we've lost our mom, but we have to curate that together in a way that shows respect to everyone.
And that's holding the door open. You're saying walk through the door of a healthy and kind relationship, right? If they don't choose to do that, you haven't alienated them. They just have chosen not to walk through the door. In a sense, they've alienated themselves. And, you know, so people see that happening and they think that boundaries mean cutting other people off. It doesn't. It means holding open the healthy door and then letting them choose to walk through it or not. That's, in fact, what God does with us. You know, people get mad all the time. Why does God send people to hell? He doesn't. He holds the door open to eternal life. Some of us choose not to walk through it. That's different from him sending those people to hell. If I choose not to walk through the door God is holding open for me through his passion, death, and resurrection, that's on me. You know, Christ has done everything he could possibly do to open those doors to heaven. All I got to do is walk through them, right? And if I choose not to do that, I have alienated myself from God. God hasn't sent me anywhere. And the same thing is true in our relationships. We hold the door open for a healthier relationship by saying, hey, please don't do that. Do this instead. And then the other person can choose to walk through that door and be in healthy, holy relationship with us, or they can choose not to be, in which case they've alienated themselves from us. But we haven't cut anybody off, right? So we haven't been mean. We've, in fact, been loving by saying, come this way. The door is open. Walk on through. Here's a red carpet. And if they don't step on the red carpet and walk through the door, that is not my fault.
But, Betsy, also you have to realize that you may not have to be the one to set the boundaries. See how it plays out. You know, we're in a season where families start to get together soon over the next few months. If they don't reach out, to plan a get-together, to celebrate something together, it's not your job to step in as the mom of the family and make those celebrations and get-togethers happen. You can step back and say, they'll show themselves for who they are. They'll either invite me or they won't. They'll step up and they'll take, you know, some kind of interest in creating those relationships and continuing family get-togethers, or they won't. You don't necessarily, unless you feel led in prayer to do so, need to put yourself through the emotional work of putting everybody on notice. And just pray about how to handle that.
I just would say, just as a point of clarification for this thing I was talking about earlier, you know, in bringing up an old hurt, because where things get bogged down like this, Betsy, is we, you know, we feel like, well, I can't move on until you've apologized for what you did to me.
And they also have to agree with what you perceived as the hurt.
Now, it gets messy. If that's a situation that tends to happen over and over again, you know, if it's a problem that reoccurs, then yeah, you have to get some kind of agreement on how we're going to handle that the next time. And so that's a conversation worth having. But if it's a problem that was, you know, something that happened at a discrete period of time, and now that problem has resolved itself, you know, with your mother's passing, for example, and it's not going to happen again, then there's the better part is to sort of see how things go moving forward. And that's where we kind of let, you know, they do the whole kind of offering it up thing and bearing those wrongs patiently. Not to say that it was okay, not to say that, you know, I don't deserve to be to receive an apology, or that I don't need to do some healing work, but rather to say, you know, I'm going to create some space here to see how this relationship is now that that stressor is over.
Yeah, to see if this is a mercy that you choose to extend to everyone, because grief and pre-grieving is horrible. Everyone gets scared and turns into a child. Everyone gets angry because facing the death of a loved one is horrifying to go through. It's not what we were created for. Sin brought death into the world. And we all have a tendency to be at our most, you know, intense place when we're going through that, and often hurt one another's feelings or don't behave as our best selves.
But if the offense continues moving forward, you know, then that's when you would bring that up and address that. So I hope that these general principles give you a different way to think about the relationships now and some things to pray about. And if you need more clarification on how to kind of sort it out once you've had a chance to think and reflect on what we shared here today, please don't hesitate to call us back again. 877-573-7825 is the number to call with your questions about boundaries on our show today, titled Fix Your Fence, as we talk about the times when people are ignoring our boundaries, or we're not quite sure what boundaries to set, or somebody's making us feel guilty for having set some limits. Let us apply these principles to the challenges you are facing at 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5.
Love does not insist on its own way.
Short, sweet, but really profound, especially when it comes to applying this idea to boundaries. You know, St. Paul is not saying that we don't need to meet each other's needs. He's saying that telling you this is what I want and this is how I want it and when I want it
in a tyrannical way
is the exact opposite of loving. You know, and a boundary acknowledges, hey, I see, you know, you want to talk to me about this thing. I mean, we can go back to Betsy. You know, you're frustrated, right, with you losing mom. You're upset about that, and I want to hear about that, but there are healthy ways to do that and unhealthy ways to do that. So here are some healthy ways we could talk about that. And the other person insists on their own way instead and say, no, I want to talk about it by blaming and accusing you of doing horrible things. That's not loving, right? So it's one thing to say, hey, look, this is what I need from you. That's perfectly fine. But this is what I need from you, and how I need it from you, and when I need it from you, now I'm being selfish. So when we insist on our own way, not just insist on meeting our needs, but insist on having those needs met in a particular way at a particular time, now I'm being contrary to the gospel. And I need to be willing to be flexible about how those needs are met so that I can respect your needs too. Really, a lot of wisdom in that one line from Scripture from 1 Corinthians 13:5. Well, with that, we are continuing to take your calls at 877 877- 573-7825 about boundaries on our show titled Fix Your Fence. Stick around for more questions coming up right after the break.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Many graces are bestowed by the Holy Spirit during the sacrament of the sick, according to the Catholic Catechism, many of which we may not be aware. The first grace is one of strengthening, peace, and courage to the patient in order that he or she may overcome the difficulties of serious illness or the frailty of old age. It helps to guard the sick person against the temptations of the devil to discouragement and anguish in the face of death. The grace is meant to lead to a healing of soul and body as well, if the latter be the will of God. The sick person's sins will be forgiven if he or she is not able to obtain forgiveness through the sacrament of penance. The patient also receives the grace to unite himself or herself to the passion of Christ for his or her own good and that of the whole church. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
You're listening to Ave Maria Radio.
Ave Maria Radio.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today on More to Life, Fix Your Fence. We're talking about setting healthy boundaries that allow healthy, holy relationships to flourish. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Betty, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Tennessee.
Betty, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
I'm not sure if it's my son's boundary or my boundary that I'm talking about. We have had some tension between my son and his family after he was married. We've never had very many interactions or opportunities for interactions. And most of the time when they are visiting in our home, things are fine. But when we go to their home, there always is such tension. The last time we left not knowing what was going on, and they were not speaking to us. We now have a new grandbaby that is a little over a year old that we've not been able to meet because most of the time we're just not welcome there. And I've just recently put out an invitation. I'd love to meet my new granddaughter, you know, every week just sending a text. They do not accept phone calls. So I don't know. When I bring it up, they get very angry. You know, that I don't know what's wrong.
You bring what up? I'm sorry.
That we have this tension in the family. I've been answered in different ways, such as, be satisfied with what you have. If you don't know what you did, this is way too traumatic for me to go through and tell you. You must figure it out yourself. And those things are just impossible for me to deal with. And yet I don't know if that's their boundary or am I overstepping my boundaries? Their boundaries.
And honestly, has your son ever said at all, and you just haven't heard it
this is what I'm upset about. Has he ever, was there ever a point? Was there, you didn't like the girl he married, you didn't like something that he did? Was there ever a pivotal moment that you can sort of put your finger on?
Never. Until they got married, everything was hunky-dory. She would visit our home. Everything was great. And in fact, we were so excited about her being part of the family.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you. So in the last time you visited them, you said that, you know, that by the end of the visit, they had stopped speaking to you. What was the point where they stopped speaking to you? Because, I mean, they were speaking to you when you got there, right?
Yes. When we got there, they were speaking to us. As we stayed for 3 days, they're a good distance from us, and they were good for the first day. The second day, things gotten a little testy, that they wanted to have more alone time, and that was fine. And by the third day, we were on our way to Mass. We took separate cars because we were going to be leaving from Mass. There was no talking to us whatsoever.
So between the first and the second day, what happened on that first day that might have caused them to start to cool a little bit?
That's what we don't know. That's what we have asked. You know, what did we do? Okay. Well, you know, was there something that we did? And they will not answer those questions.
Okay. Well, the only thing you can really do in a case like that is to say, look, I love you guys. And I want to, by the way, don't make it about the grandbaby as much as you want to see the grandbaby.
Yeah, biggest grandparenting mistake, because it says, we don't really care about you, we just want to see the grandchildren. And every grandparent makes it at some point.
Yeah, I mean, it's not what you're trying to say, but that's how it comes across. So the more you lean on, we want to see the grandbaby, the more they hear, you don't really care about us. So avoid that. But having said that, the best thing you could do at this point is to say, look, I love you guys. And I would love to have a relationship with you. I understand that you feel that we have not been willing to hear what you have to say.
Even if you think you have, just say that.
You know, or even if you think they haven't told you. They think that they've told you. Like that's why they're acting the way they are. They in their minds, it's obvious even if it's not, right? And in order to get through that resistance, you have to kind of own that a little bit and saying, you know, I know that you feel that you've been clear about what the problem is, or that you've communicated that to some way, or it should even be obvious. And I'm really sorry if you feel that I've not heard you, or not been listening, or I'm somehow too obtuse to figure it out for myself. But I want you to know that I am ready to hear and to listen to whatever it is that you need to tell me, or write, or receive whatever it is that you want to write to me, when you're in a place where you can do that. I want to respect you and give you your space, not because I don't want to be in a relationship with you, but because I don't want you to feel threatened or pushed or pressured in any way. But when you're ready to share this with me, I promise I will be in a place where I can receive it. Then you might have to wait a little bit and maybe check in every, you know, couple of months or something, where you just sort of send another thing and say, hey, you know, you've been on my mind, you've been on my heart, I just wanted you to know the offer still stands. I'm sorry that I haven't been able to hear you or really figure this out. Whenever you feel up to just communicating to me whatever it is that you feel like I need to hear, I promise I will be in a place to be able to receive it. Now, when they do say something to you, it's going to be hard to hear it, because you're going to think that it's skewed, it's, you know, it's distorted, it's not true, they're making stuff up. Let it all go. Receive it. You know, just and don't respond to any of it. Say, you know what, you said a lot of things. They were hard to hear, but I'm grateful that you shared them with me. I want to take some time to think about it all and pray about it. But right now, I just want to thank you for telling me what was on your heart and trusting me with that. You know, and I promised that I was going to really take this to heart and reflect on it, and I'm going to do that. But I want to thank you for just sharing that with me. You need to let them know that it's safe to say those awful things, right? And that you're going to kind of now, and then you can kind of build on it from there. And the way to build on that would be to say, hey, I just had a question about thus and such. You know, I was trying to do this, and obviously it came off that way. If we had it to do over again, is there some way that I could communicate this in a better way or handle that differently? What would you have liked to see from me then? So you're still, you know, you're not defending yourself. You're still asking questions to kind of help them help you figure this all out. But the, you know, that's the approach you want to take. Now, this is kind of a lot. I mean, you could run with what we're saying here, but it's hard to remember sometimes. We walk through this whole process in our book, having meaningful, sometimes difficult conversations with our adult sons and daughters. It's really a book about how to rebuild a relationship with an adult child who, you know, you're not getting along with well, how to have the kinds of conversations that heal the relationship, that allow you to bring up things that are important to you that maybe they've not been willing to hear. And I really encourage you as a follow-up to this call to check that book out. Again, it's Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters, and it's available at CatholicCounselors.com. With that, Betty, we've added you and your family to our More to Life prayer list, and if we can support you more directly, then I encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's pastoral telecounseling practice. And that goes for you listeners as well. If you are struggling in this whole boundary area, let our team help you set better boundaries and lead to more flourishing relationships.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.